श्रुतिम अपरे स्मृतिम इतरे भारतम अन्ये भजन्तु भावभीता अहम इह नन्दम भन्दे यस्यालिन्दे परम ब्रह्मा। We are reading this evening a beautiful sloka composed by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami from the Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This chapter begins with Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu just leaving Vrindavan. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, it was his greatest anticipation through his life to come to the holy land of Brajbhumi. When he arrived, it cannot be understood by any mind, material or spiritual, what sort of happiness and divine ecstasy he was experiencing. When Sri Mahaprabhu was living in Jagannath Puri, he was always submerged in the joy of pure love of God, prema bhakti. And when he would even think of Vrindavan, his joy, his ecstasy would increase hundreds of times. And after many years of longing and separation from the holy dham, when he was alas on his way with his beloved servant Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he was roaming through the Jharikhanda forest. There, he was immersed in the thought of Sri Krishna, performing the beautiful Sankirtan of the holy name. When he was living in Purushottam Kshetra, Puri Dham, every day he would roam through the streets with his associates, with his arms raised, dancing in great happiness, inviting everyone to join this mission of love of God by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, he created tidal waves from the ocean of his own divine heart, love of God in all directions. And hundreds and thousands of most fortunate souls were drowning in the ocean of his love. When he was roaming through the Jharikhanda forest for the pleasure of Lord Sri Krishna and for the purification of all living beings, he was dancing down the forest paths with his arms raised, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Ah, and in the forest, sometimes he would come across deer, and he would invite them, Hari, Hari, Harivo, chant the holy names. And the deers would follow and begin dancing and chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And then he came across many, many tigers. And he called out to the tigers, chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
And he saw the tigers and the deers chanting and dancing together. Now generally, deers and tigers are not friendly toward one another, because tigers eat deers. And deers, when they just hear the sound of a tiger's footprints, run for their lives. So although they are the worst of enemies, in the presence of the Lord, in the divine atmosphere of kirtan, they became intimate, loving associates, and they began to embrace and kiss one another while chanting,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Ah, this is a very significant example for us to follow. Because in this world, we are all like tigers and deers, competing, fighting one another. Ah, everyone, in America we say it is a dog-eat-dog world. Huh? Everyone is trying to get what they can from somebody else. And even amongst sadhus and devotees, there's often so much conflict and difference of opinion in politics. But if we take this instruction, even the most inimical animals become intimate loving friends when they come together for the purpose of chanting,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he smiled when he saw this. He loves to see his children coming together in the glorification of the holy name. And as he was roaming through the forest paths, there were rhinoceros and serpents, snakes, and all sorts of other wild beasts. And even the trees and the creepers and the grass and the weeds and the flowers, they were all dancing and they were all chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Tonight, the animals in the forest of Kar. Taken to the chanting of the holy names. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was smiling. So, while he was on his way to Brajadham through the forest, the ecstasy, the joy that he felt increased hundreds of times. And when he came to Mathura, Madhupuri, that ecstasy increased hundreds of times. And when alas, he was roaming through the 12 forests of Brajbhumi, the joy of love increased unlimitedly. So much so that his devotees, they could not control him properly, although he himself was trying to control himself according to his power. The love of Sri Radharani that was awakening in his heart was beyond his control to suppress while living in Braja. So they decided that he should go. So he was always very submissive to his devotees. When Balabhadra Bhattacharya and others said, now we should leave Vrindavan, he said, whatever pleases you. So in his return visit, he stopped at the holy place of Prayag. When he was in Prayag, he came to a very, very famous temple, the temple of Bindu Madhava. And there, hundreds and thousands of people heard that Mahaprabhu was coming, and they all came to see him. And he began his kirtan. And he invited everyone to join him. There were literally lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of people gathered around him with their arms raised like this.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram.
As he was dancing, he was just charming and winning everyone's hearts, filling them with more and more and more devotion to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever he went, it was his only purpose to somehow or other induce people to chant the holy name. After giving everyone this great mercy, he met one Brahmin from South India. And there he was invited to his home, which was in a secluded place, a little distance from the Triveni. There he sat in a solitary place, although he would sleep at night in a place just at the confluence of the Jamuna, Ganga, and Saraswati. While sitting, Rup Goswami and his youngest brother, Sri Balabha, also known as Anupam, they came to meet the Lord. Actually, they were there during his massive kirtans at the Bindu Madhav temple. And they simply kept a distance and offered their obeisances. But when they came to this Brahmin's home, they put bunches of straw between their teeth in great humility, and they were just offering their prostrated obeisances again and again and again and again and again. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw them, although they were some distance away. And he told them, get up and come. And he was so happy to see them. And when he met his devotees, embracing them with love, he inquired about their welfare. And then he took prasad, and the remnants were given to Rup Goswami and Sri Balabha. And shortly after this, a very, very, very learned and exalted Vaishnava came. His name was Balabha Bhat, also famous as Balabhacharya. And he was living just on the other side of the river Jamuna, at Prayag, in a small village. And when he came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very much happy to meet the Lord. He had heard so many wonderful things. And he invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to his home for prasad. So he arranged a boat. And as the boat was crossing the Jamuna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling so much happiness seeing the Jamuna that he just jumped off into the water. And he fell unconscious. So they had to literally go and get him and pull him back onto the boat. And then while on the boat, he started dancing. And the boat started, as he was dancing, the boat was going this way and that way, and it was about to sink. And when they could not control him, and when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that he was causing great difficulty in the minds of these devotees, he somehow became very calm, very patient. So they went to Balabha's house. And Rup Goswami and Anupam came at that time. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu greeted them with great happiness. And then they went to offer their humble obeisances to Balabhacharya, Rupanupam, or Rupananupam. And at that time, Balabhacharya, seeing the devotional qualities of these two brothers, he came to greet them and embrace them. And they said, "No, no, no, do not touch us. We are from low castes. We are untouchables. If you touch us, you will be contaminated." And Balabhacharya was thinking, what is this? And he looked towards Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he could see the exalted qualities of these devotees. And as these devotees were chanting the holy names, he could see that they were so much immersed in the pure divine sound of Harinam. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Balabhacharya, he said, "You should not touch them, because you are a very aristocratic Brahmin and a very, very great saint. And if you touch these untouchable people, low caste, you will become polluted." And Balabhacharya quoted a verse from the Bhagavatam. "Aho bata swapacho dhogariyam yajjivagre vartate namatu bhyam." That even if one is born in the most untouchable family of dog eaters, chandalas, if he is sincerely chanting the holy names, he is considered the highest of the highest Brahmins. And he should be given all the respects and should be given the right to do all the sacrifices of the Brahmins. Because that person can deliver the whole world from the cycle of birth and death. But a person born in a Brahmin family who does not have such devotional quality cannot even deliver himself, what to speak of anyone else. So when Mahaprabhu heard this, he became very happy. And Mahaprabhu quoted a verse explaining, even if one is the highest of Brahmins, the most learned of the Shastra, if he does not have devotion, all his learning, all his brahminical qualities are decorations on a dead body. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to extol to Balabhacharya the glories of Rupa and Anupam. So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given prasad. Balabhacharya, how much gentle. He was a grihastha at the time. He was showing by his example, even the most exalted person in the grihastha ashram, how much love and devotion they offer to such exalted sannyasis as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He washed his feet, he offered his two sons, Gopinath, Vitaleshwar, and sprinkled the water on all of the foot wash on all of their heads. Then he offered him prasad. Then he offered prasad to Rup and Anupam, and then he offered it to his children, and then he came back and offered spices to the Lord and gave him a place to sit, and began to massage his legs and his feet. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Now you please take prasad." So he quickly took prasad and came back to massage his feet and his legs. After some time, while Mahaprabhu was residing there at Balabhacharya's house, a very, very great learned scholar devotee appeared. His name was Raghupati Upadhyaya. When Raghupati came, this very great devotee, very famous as a learned scholar, he was from the province of Bihar, Tiruhita. And he offered his respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya. And the Lord gave him his blessings. What was Mahaprabhu's blessings? Krishne Mati Rahu. Which means, may you always remain in Krishna consciousness. And Raghupati, upon hearing this blessing of the Lord, became filled with happiness. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to describe Krishna. And Raghupati Upadhyaya, upon being requested to describe Krishna, he recited a verse that he personally composed. And hearing this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was filled with ecstatic love. In fact, in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, this verse is continually, again and again, repeated because it really captures the essence of what is bhakti. I would like to recite this verse for your pleasure and for your enlightenment this evening. Shrutim apadhe smritim itare Bharatam anye bhajantu bhava bhavita Aham iha nandam bande yasyalinde param brahma. Raghupati Upadhyaya recited that those who are afraid of material existence, they worship the Vedic literature. They worship the Shruti, the Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, the Sama Veda, the Atharva Veda, the 108 Upanishads. They read, they learn, they study, they practice. Some worship the Smriti, the Puranas, the corollaries of the Vedic literature. Others worship the Mahabharata, which culminates in its essence, the Bhagavad Gita. But they are all approaching the Vedas because they are afraid of suffering, the repetition of birth and death. They are afraid of poverty. They are afraid of material suffering. Artha, kama, dhamma, moksha, economic development, liberation, sense gratification, religiosity. People are approaching the Vedas because they're afraid of losing the benedictions, which will give them comfort and happiness in life. But Raghupati Upadhyaya said, as far as I am concerned, I don't care anything about any of these scriptures for any of these purposes. After studying all the shastras, all the srutis, all the smritis, studying from so many people in so many different sampradayas, this is my conclusion, that I am only concerned with worshipping Maharaj Nanda. The father of Krishna, in whose courtyard Param Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is crawling like a baby child. How charming, how sweet. He explained that Krishna, who is the absolute truth, who is Sarveshwareshwara, Parameshwara, Param Brahman, who is the cause of all causes, the source of everything, who is the source of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, the creator, the maintainer, and the annihilator of this entire universe, who is the source of the entire effulgence of Brahman. The yogis, they perform tapasya for lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes, and they can hardly even get a glimpse of the supreme opulence of the Lord, who is seated within the heart of every living being. And the jnanis, after studying the shastras birth after birth after birth, at the most they can just get a glimpse of the all-pervading effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti. But Nanda Maharaj, simply a cowherd boy, cowherd man, just tending the cows, taking care of his family, that supreme Brahman, the cause of everything and the source of all that exists, the ultimate power within everyone, has accepted the position of his own little baby child. And he's playing and crawling. Who is this Nanda Maharaj? Who is this Yashoda? Maharaj Parikshit asked the same question to Shukadeva Goswami. Krishna is always bound by the love of his devotee. When Nanda Maharaj would come from the cowherd pastures, Krishna being a small child, Yashoda Mai would say, "Ah, Gopal, bring your father his slippers." And this little child, with great effort, would lift his wooden sandals and place them on his head. And as fast as he could run, with his wobbling legs, he would run to the door and he would set his father's, with great difficulty, his shoes before him. Some people, they think that by taking to the religious life, they can become God. But here we find that to a bhakta, to a devotee, God takes the feet of that devotee and places them on his own head. Krishna's bhakta vatsal. He is always anxious to be subordinate to the love of his devotee. Bhakti is supreme because even the supreme Brahman becomes subordinate to that bhakti. This is the Leela of Vrindavan. And therefore, Raghupati Upadhyaya is explaining here that by simply worshipping such a devotee of the Lord, who has captured the Lord by his love, automatically you capture Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that analytical, philosophical knowledge should be abandoned. This is what Mahaprabhu says. It should be abandoned. One should simply worship the lotus feet of those devotees who have given their lives in humble surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because by hearing from them, the essence of true knowledge only can be imparted within our heart. Tadvijnanartham sigurum eva abhigacchet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that to find that essence of all the Shastra, love of God, you'll never find it in the scriptures on your own. You can study for millions of births until you become the humble servant of a true, genuine devotee of the Lord and worship his feet and hear the Shastra and learn them from him. Until you learn to love such a devotee and worship such a devotee, Krishna will never reveal himself to you under any circumstance, no matter how powerful or great you become, in any path. And Prahlad Maharaja said the same thing, that unless one bathes his body in the dust of the feet of the sadhus, the pure devotees of the Lord, no matter what one does, one will never understand what is Krishna. So Raghupati Upadhyaya is here showing that he is not even worshipping Krishna. He's simply worshipping Nanda Maharaj. Why? Because he knows that by worshipping Nanda Maharaj, Krishna will be ultimately satisfied. People worship demigods. And some people are very much afraid that I know that Krishna is the supreme god.
Still, my family has been worshipping these devatas for many, many years, and I'm afraid if I just worship Krishna, they will become angry with me. And they may destroy my home, or they may kill me, or they may put me in distress. So therefore, I have to continue everything as it is, out of fear. But the Bhagavatam explains two examples. That if you water the root of a tree, automatically every part of the tree is satisfied. Krishna is the root. Every branch, every twig, every leaf, every flower is fully nourished if you simply put water on the root. Krishna says in Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. He is the root of everything that exists, all spiritual and material worlds. And in that same sloka, Shukadev Goswami describes that if you put food in the belly, then every part of the body is nourished. But if you do not put food in the belly, the whole body will become weak and ultimately die of starvation. Correct? So therefore, the essence of good health is putting the proper food in your stomach. Correct? Then you don't need to go to Vaishnava and get all of these dangerous antibiotics to kill all the diseases that you have. Develop. Huh? You simply put the proper food in your belly, automatically every part of your body is nourished. But this is a great secret that people must understand. You cannot approach your belly directly. Can you put food in your belly? Your belly represents Krishna, who's providing and nourishing every part. The only way to reach your belly is through your mouth. If you put food in your mouth, the mouth will offer it to the belly, and the belly will provide for your good health. So similarly, Raghupati Upadhyaya is describing here, you cannot approach Krishna directly any easier than you can approach the belly directly. You have to approach through the mouth. In the same way, you have to approach Krishna through the sadhu, through his devotee, through such a person like Nanda Maharaj, or such a representative who is always engaged in the loving service of the Lord. That is why it is said, Lord Kapila, in the Bhagavatam, people are often bewildered by this verse. He explains that when wonderful food cooked in nice ghee, that means the best you have, when it is tasted and relished by the mouth of the Brahmins and the devotees, there is nothing that gives the Lord greater pleasure than that. What does that mean? That means whatever you offer them, they are like the mouth. It all goes right to him. Now, if a person is a so-called sadhu, but he's not actually offering everything to Krishna, it is like putting it in the mouth and then he just chews it and then spits it out, vomits it. Huh? Such a person we do not want. But someone who is simply, humbly a servant of the Lord, who does everything for the Lord, who only does the Lord's will in this world, such a person is transparent via medium. And Raghupati is explaining here, I worship that person. Because the Param Brahma, he has become the playthings in the hand, he is a plaything within the hands of the Vrijvasins.
Mother Yashoda is binding him with rope. And he allows himself to be bound. And when she becomes angry with him, he begins to cry and to tremble and to run away and hide. How is this possible? This is the power of love. That even Krishna becomes fearful of such love. Huh? But that fearfulness is an expression of his love. Reciprocation. Huh. And the gopis, when he was a little baby, they would all clap their hands and sing, and he would dance. Just, they would say, dance, and he would dance. And they would sing and clap and see the beauty. And he was just very small. He would be falling down, getting up, dancing, falling down, getting up, dancing, falling down, getting up, dancing. And when the devotees see how the Lord, he's falling down, their hearts melt. Just for his devotee, he's falling down, just to give them pleasure. Just for their pleasure, he's appearing helpless, just to receive their love. This is the power of devotional service. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has explained, Anukulyena Krishna Lu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. That real devotional service is not concerned with any distraction. We simply want to please Krishna. We simply want to serve Krishna by following the footprints of Raghupati, by worshipping the Lord's devotees. That's all. We have such faith in this process. We do not care to aspire for mystic powers. We do not care to accumulate masses and masses of knowledge for our prestige, to understand or figure out what is the truth. A devotee studies the Shastra for two reasons. Not to try to figure out what is the absolute truth. He has already heard that from Gurudev. He's simply studying the scripture so that he can be more prepared to present the simple conclusions of the Harinam Kirtan movement. And he studies the scriptures simply to hear the glories of the Lord. But he's not trying to figure out what is God, figure out what is the truth, figure out what is the process. Rupa Goswami says, if you do like that, you cannot attain Krishna. If you are aspiring for Gyan Kanda, if you are aspiring for the Astanga Kanda, performing the different forms of meditation for peace, for powers, for the raising of the kundalinis, the Shakti, says you can get great power, you may even get liberation, but not Krishna. If you want Krishna, you have to put all these things aside and just engage in his loving service. Just engage in those activities which please him. And what is the most pleasing service? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught to come together to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This process is so simple that snakes and flowers and grass and trees and deers and tigers and porcupines and rabbits, they could all do this and attain perfection. Huh? And the devotee is humble. We are all like animals.
To live in Bombay, you have to be an animal. You couldn't survive in this city unless you were an animal. Anyways, that's the way... To an outsider, it appears like this. When you're caught up in the rat race here, you think, oh, this is a very high civilization. But if you look at it impartially, this is a jungle. Huh? He says concrete jungle. All the concrete's crumbling and falling in. Most of it. But anyways, Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya has given us such a sublime method for purifying our lives. Such a method that anyone can take just by chanting the holy names. And by chanting the holy names in the footsteps of these great devotees and appreciating the glory with faith in the one-pointed path of pure bhakti, then we can taste the sweetness of the charm of Krishna's divine lila. How he is crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. The Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayan, who is worshipped by hundreds and millions of goddesses of fortune, who the greatest celestial beings are just bowing their heads to. He's carrying the shoes of Nanda on his head and crawling and standing up and falling down just to give pleasure to his devotee. This is bhakti. And all of these conclusions and realizations are being so easily given to us through this method of Nam Sankirtan. But of course it takes a little time and it takes purification. It takes holy association, and most of all, it takes very sincere heart, perseverant, and patient. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
You said it, that if one has no devotion, then everything is decorated on the dead body. Now, this. We are chanting holy name of God. Sometimes we are doing deity worship. But actually we have no devotion. We are doing just because we have been asked to chant 2 hours. We have been asked to do deity worship. But actually speaking, we have no devotion. So whatever it you need to say, whatever we are doing, it's all decoration of that body.
Why are you doing it?
Sadhana, we think it is sadhana, one day we may make progress. Or instruction of
So if you are sincere, trying to serve this instruction of Guru, trying to purify your life, is that not devotion? That is devotion. It may not be pure devotion, but that devotion will become purified through practice. You just continue on sincerely. Generally, Shruti is considered the 4 Vedas, the Upanishads. And Smriti is the corollary scriptures which elaborate and expound upon the original Vedas. Vedavyas wrote the Shruti and also Smriti. The 18 Puranas, the Mahabharata, Ramayana, the Vedanta Sutra, this is all considered to be Smriti. It explains the essence of the philosophy in
such beautiful story form, depicting the choicest, most important parts of history, to illustrate the pure teachings of the Shruti. See, at the time of Sri Krishna's birth, on that evening of Janmashtami, Vasudev was carrying Gopal in basket on his head from Mathura to Gokul. And as he was crossing Jamuna, there were storms. And due to the turbulence, the child fell in Jamuna. Because the original form of Godhead fell into Jamuna, she became full of ecstatic bliss. And at that time, Jamuna, due to the touch of the body of Sri Krishna, became more purified